And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family
years
really
ago,
intense
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
I never been
from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
Welcome again to another episode of X-Fabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend here on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Rachel Owens in the studio with X-Fabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Hello.
Well, hello to you, Rachel. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Quite the busy festive weekend we're having here in Milwaukee.
I know. Basketball, St. Patrick's Day, all that good stuff. Everything happening at once, basically.
Absolutely. And of course, luck is on the minds of many this weekend.
Yes, due to the holiday season of St. Patrick's Day. Our theme for the show today is luck of the draw. Do you have any big plans this weekend?
Going to see some roller derby Saturday night.
Okay, that has nothing to do with being Irish, but I totally respect that.
I'll be wearing shamrock socks, so that's my contribution.
Okay. Well, there we go. Much better. Well, today I brought a couple of stories revolving around the theme of luck. So let's us dive straight in. Our first story comes from our first season back in 2010, when the theme was actually luck, believe it or not. Here's a story from Drew Braille.
I should not be here tonight. I should be dead. I was in the luckiest accident in automotive history. And this is how it happened. Years ago, I was invited to a party, and a friend of mine, whom I'll call Julius, swung by my house to pick me up to drive me there. I didn't know how to drive yet, which is important, as you'll see later. So we're driving down the freeway to this party, and we get into a conversation, and the subject kind of wanders onto how we both have this amused contempt for small talk, and how some people feel the need to fill a perfectly good silence with meaningless, empty words, and how we're both trying to break ourselves of this habit. We were both freshmen in college at the time. So we make our point, and we lapse into a kind of smug silence for the next couple of miles, because nobody's going to break it, you see, because that would be weak. Now, before I forget, I should tell you that I have no idea where this party is or how to get there. I'm entirely relying on Julius to know the way. So after a couple more minutes of this, I decide to be the big man, and I say, "Why, we sure are getting good at avoiding small talk, aren't we?" And Julius says nothing. So I think, okay, this is the way he's going to play this, huh? So I shut up again and smile for another couple of miles, and we're driving down the freeway, and finally I get fed up, and I throw up my hands, and I say, "Okay, Julius, you win. You're better at silence than I am." And he still says nothing, just keeps driving, looking straight ahead. In fact, it's not until after we get off the freeway and then get right back on the freeway, and I ask him, "Julius, are you sure you know where we're going?" And he still doesn't say anything, that I begin to suspect that something might be wrong. Or I'm just getting pissed off. I can't remember which. Now, what I didn't know at the time, what Julius himself didn't know at the time, is that Julius has epilepsy. And he's having what the doctors call a brownout. He's not a blackout. He's still conscious. He just isn't quite all there. He's driving perfectly normally. He's staying within the lines, going the speed limit, obeying all the other rules of traffic, but he just doesn't have any idea where he's going or why, and he obviously doesn't have any interest in conversation. But I can't tell, because aside from getting off and on the freeway, he's driving perfectly normally. I don't know where we're going, and because we've had this conversation, I think he's just being a jerk. So I don't panic, which is important. So eventually we get off the freeway again, and now we're in city traffic, and it's night, it's dark, and there's a big intersection, and there's a red light ahead of us, and there's a car stopped at that red light straight ahead of us, and there's another vehicle in the lane to our right. And Julius, brownout or no, can see the red light, knows it means stops, put his foot on the brake, but he doesn't put it on quite vigorously enough, and we rear-end the car in front of us at the intersection a little. So here's the luckiest accident in automotive history. We rear-end the car in front of us, but one, nobody gets hurt. Two, the car in front of us is so little damaged that when the light turns green, the driver just drives off. He never gets out of the car to swap insurance numbers. Three, the car that Julius is driving is damaged in just such a way that when the light turns green and he puts his foot on the gas, because he's still not reacting to anything, and now I'm really starting to freak out, he puts his foot on the gas, the car won't start. Must have dislodged the flenser valve or something. And four, the vehicle in the lane to our right, remember, is an ambulance. So the EMTs pile out of the car, and they check to see if everybody's all right and notice that something's seriously out of whack with Julius, and they shine lights in his eyes and give him orange juice and, restore him and generally save the day. So let's take stock. One, if Julius had had a blackout on the freeway instead of a brownout, death. Two, if we hadn't had this conversation or I knew where we were going and I had realized that something was seriously wrong and had panicked, remember, I don't drive, trying to grab the wheel or do the brakes or something, death. If he had not put on the brakes at all and just rear-ended the car ahead of us, possibly death. If the car had been able to go when the light turned green, off we go into city traffic, death, possibly multiple deaths. But nobody gets killed, nobody gets hurt. Julius is diagnosed and treated, is never put in this situation again or puts anybody else in this situation again. As far as I'm concerned, the ambulance and lane to our right is just fortunate icing on a very lucky cake.
And that was Drew Brail's intense story from a story slam that we had back in 2010 at Moe's Irish Pub.
Ooh, that kind of gives me goosebumps listening to that because it was such a great story. And you think, wow, how many times were you in a situation where if you had known at the time what the danger was, you would have been freaking out. But luckily, he didn't know. And that was helpful in that situation.
Most definitely. Speaking of being lucky, all of our members, our Xfabula members, are extremely lucky because we have another event coming up strictly free for them. It's a Secret Fabula event, and I know that we've talked about this in the past. These are specific events that we hold at different locations all over in Milwaukee. The next one's going to be at the UWM Planetarium, which happens to be one of my favorite places in the universe. No pun or maybe pun intended. I love that place. I used to take first dates there to see how they would react to like sitting and listening to lectures on the stars because I'm a big constellation fan. And the one date that I took there fell asleep. So that was kind of interesting. But you, as a member, or if you want to buy tickets to come to this particular event, you'll be able to hear stories from the staff and volunteers that work for the UWM Planetarium. There'll be light refreshments. It'll be a really, really great time. And it's going to be on March 27th. So we'll give you details about that later and how to get those tickets. But speaking of dates, let's move into our next story. This one comes from no stranger to the Xfabula stage, Anjana Tanja, who tells her Risking It story from 2016 Story Slam.
Even though my doctor had told me to treat yourself like a diabetic, always bring food with you no matter where you go, I was like, no, I am not going to cook myself some fresh liver and avocado sprinkled with seaweed because I am tired of cooking for myself and my many unreasonable needs because I have over 35 food allergies. I cannot eat anything that I make unless I make myself, and I need a break from this because I want to be cool, and also because somehow I ended up with a date even though I live in Franklin with my parents, the suburbs, without a car. I'm 25 and I have no income. So before my date, I had a rigorous dance rehearsal with a dancer friend, and I'm not a dancer, but I danced and danced and danced with her, and then I was all, you know, really fluid of movement and spirit, and I met up with this guy who I really wasn't that into, but, you know, you take what you can get when you live with your parents, and I had been communicating with him on Facebook. I didn't really know him. I met him up with him at Rochambeau. And a transference occurred in which I could see the love gaze leaving his eyes, entering mine, and exiting mine towards him with a renewed and ever-growing fervor. And so then, you know, I'm getting really hungry, and I mention it, and he says, should I cook you an egg? And I was like, oh, I would love an egg, except I can't, because I can only have a duck egg if it's from a farm where it's been eating grass, because that's what my doctor told me to do, because I have over 35 intense food allergies. And he said, okay, never mind. So my mom comes to pick me up after the date, and by that time I'm shaking, and I just shake more and more as we get the half hour to home. And so I'm like cutting up onions, I'm throwing it in the pan, and I'm feeling really quavery. And next thing you know, nothing. I open up my eyes and it's dark. I'm in the back of an EMT vehicle and they tell me, you had a seizure. And the thought is so horrifying. I've never had anything terrible medical happen to me like that before. I just fainted again. And because I can't even look at my skin, honestly, when I get a paper cut, I have someone else go, can you look at this? Am I bleeding? But anyways, so I wake up in the hospital and I'm ravenous. I'm so hungry. My entire core just is aching with emptiness. I could just about eat the bed sheet, but they told me not to eat anything because they have to run some blood tests, and I'm crying. I'm crying. I'm so hungry, and I have a goose egg on the back of my head from where I thunked my head on the floor when I fainted and had a seizure. And so finally, my mom runs home and gets me some food because she is the one person in the world who knows what I can eat because I have so many food allergies. So she runs home, and they run the tests on me. She brings back this food for me, and it's the duck egg I was cooking, but it's covered in hairs, and it's covered in grit because apparently when I had flipped it, it went all over the floor as I fainted. And she just rinsed it in the sink. And I ate it. I devoured it. I was so hungry. I was just tearfully eating. And it wasn't delicious, but it was so satisfying. And after that, I got in contact with the guy, and he never contacted me again, really. But, like, you know, sometimes I'd send him Facebook messages, and I'd feel hypoglycemic. And now I know how to gauge if someone is good for me or not on if I start to feel hypoglycemic in their presence. Because I've never had a situation like this occur to me ever again, and I know how not to risk it.
And that was Anjana Tanja telling us her risking it story under the theme of luck today.
Certainly a positive twist at the end. You always have to listen to your body, right?
Yes, yeah. Intuition, body signals. Yes, we're all animals when it comes down to it, aren't we?
I think so, absolutely. So you're going to tell us a little bit more about that Secret Fabula event happening.
Yes, yes. The Secret Fabula event, again, is going to be at the UWM Planetarium on March 27th. You can get all the details, including tickets, on our website, which is xfabula.org. You can also find information on our final story slam coming up before we hit the All-Stars. And you know, when we do, we have these monthly story slams, we get an audience favorite. We take all of those audience favorites, stick them on stage, in a big stage, and we ask them to tell a little bit longer of a story, up to 10 minutes. And then we have the grand finale storyteller of the season. And I have to tell you, we had an event last week on Wednesday, and it was at the Time Cinema, and the theme was acquired taste. And Joel Dreising told a story, and he won the audience's hearts that night. So he'll be moving on, and we'll have one more spot left, and that's going to be at our April event, and it's revolving around the theme of Milwaukee. It's going to be a really special event, so we'll have more details about that further into the weeks coming up.
So it's kind of like you have your own tournament bracket going on.
Yeah, we do. Good one, Rachel.
Thank you. I was trying to tie it in somehow.
Nicely done. But you can get all the details about becoming a member, about our XFabula specific member events or workshops, Secret Fabulas or slams, blah, 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 everything at xfabula.org.
Well, as always, it's so much fun. Thanks again, Leah.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. Have a great weekend.
You too.